Memorial Hospital. Now let's head live to the Antlers for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Alrighty, we are here for our last show of the season. Great crowd here on hand at the Antlers, and everybody listening in, we hope we'll have a good final show here for you tonight. We've enjoyed this show all season, and we want to thank the folks here at the Antlers. They've been tremendous all year. We were here last year also. We're hoping we'll be here again in the fall. They're a great sponsor. Chris Sable's not with us again tonight, but he said to say hi to everybody. He has enjoyed sponsoring the show all season, so hopefully we'll get him back again next year. Damon Witten's with us, the head coach of the Lakers, and a tough way to finish a season. But, you know, when you're the eighth seed and you're going to play the number one team on its ice, that's a pretty tough assignment. And that Minnesota State team is awfully good. They beat us 9-2 on Friday night. And then we played a heck of a game. You know, as a guy who follows the team closely, you know, the thing I really get a kick out of is still watching and calling hockey games is competitive spirit, and I think we had it on Saturday night. We played pretty darn well. We got beat 4-2, but we're right in the game. It was 3-2 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, and just before we start, Bill, on competitive spirit, I want to congratulate Coach Hedinga and then the basketball team for what a great run. You know, we got to watch some of that obviously here, and then the trip down there, and you know, unfortunately we didn't get to watch it. We were playing about the same time, but it sounded like a great overtime win there versus Paris. And then you know, it's great to have that in the department. You know, the championship team, that Sunday game here, we got a chance. Most of our team got over there to watch that. So congratulations to Coach Hedinga on a great year, and it's been a great run for them, and I know they'll continue at a high level. And that's something we can follow and aspire to. So congrats to them. And yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, you know, I know what's been our Friday nights the last couple of weeks, but, you know, our Friday nights have been rough. But I thought Saturday our pushback and our compete level, as you mentioned, was very good. I thought it was a good hockey game. And, you know, that was some of the growth we saw. You know, we could play against good teams and put up a fight. We just could never really seem to get over the hump. And, you know, it's never easy to end it. Talking to a couple of fans here tonight, it's just so weird all of a sudden to be back here and no practice today and no, nobody up in the stands and nothing on the ice. It's just such a hard transition, and our guys are struggling with it. It's never an enjoyable part of the season. So it's a real tough transition, and we'll give our guys a little bit of time here before we get right back to work. But I'm sure we have lots to talk about the weekend as well, but it is a real difficult end of the season.
Yeah, I think that game on Saturday night, the thing I liked best about it was we got down 2-0. They're so good. They've got stick skills. When Marganeri scored his first goal, that was like he roofed it from right in front of the net. I'm like, wow, where'd he come up with that one, you know? But they're such a good team, and yet we bounce right back. And we I don't think our power play has looked any better than it did on that power play goal Ryan Wren scored in the second period.
Yeah, a little too late. We had a power play goal in our last three games, and I don't know where that was earlier on. But even going back to Friday, I mean, the final score obviously is real nasty to look at. But if Bill, you think back to your call, it's a 2-1 game late in the first period on Friday night, about 3:50 left or something like that. And Andrew Domet makes an absolutely beautiful pass, springs Matt Johnson on a breakaway. All alone, Johnny did a great job using his speed. He went in, put a great shot on net. Williams made a good save. But Johnny can score on the breakaway. It's 2-2. And, you know, and if not, we have a 5-on-3 shortly later. I can't remember who the D-man made a pass down to, Alex Globke. Globke found one of our players' net front. Wasn't quite tape to tape. It was more in his skates, but a puck that we feel like you should be able to collect on your skate, kick it up, and just had a wide open net. So, you know, that was kind of that game of inches for us, where it could be 2-2, maybe 3-2 going into the second period. All of a sudden they maintain that lead, and then they come out and got, you know, really, you know, just two fortunate goals. It was a night for us that pucks went into our net, and that happens occasionally. Terrible timing on that, but their third goal was a funnel from the wall, just snuck through Gordy's armpit, and then their fourth goal ran off Jason Angus's stick. Hit his stick, bounced up, hit his chest, went in our net. It was just kind of at that point, like, you know, what do we need to do tonight to get something going? So it could have been a much different game after that first period Friday, and then things obviously spiraled from there. But, you know, and then Saturday, like I said, it was a good effort. We had some good opportunities. And even their fourth goal that iced it, they came in, put a high shot off Gordy, and the puck, instead of bouncing up in the air, somehow goes right down to the ice that they can get the rebound. So, but they're a great team. You know, Mike Casing's done an unbelievable job with that program. They've got a ton of skill. They skate so well, and you know, it's a great experience for us to get in the playoffs, to go in there, to play in a hostile environment against a great team. That's where we want to get to. That's our goal, to be able to beat a team like that, to host home ice. And so it's a critical step for us to make the playoffs, to go into that environment and play. And to have that response Saturday was important as well. You know, it could have been a real nasty ending had we not competed or given up. We didn't do that. We haven't done that all year, so it was good for us to go in there and do that.
Well, you know, the thing about Minnesota State, Mankato is 4 or 5 years ago, they were about where we are right now. They were not a great team. And, since Hastings has taken over, he spent a lot of time in the USHL as a head coach. And, he's brought those connections with him to Minnesota State. And, he's made good use of it. They've loaded up with an awful lot of talent there in the last 4 or 5 seasons, and they're really a good team right now.
Yeah, they are. There's no real weakness to their team. Their decor is big and mobile. Their skill is off the charts. They're top 9 for sure. Really, they're top 12, and they can all skate. So to me, it's so much about skating. And again, that's a model we'll follow. You look at what he's done there, and Chris Bergeron at Bowling Green, and obviously what we were able to build over at Michigan Tech. And so it can be done, and we're confident we can do it. And you know, the direction we'll head as we move forward here and follow those programs and build a team that can play with and beat those teams.
Yeah, and you know, Friday night, one of the other things, and we talk about this post game as well as before the game on Saturday night, we lost some composure there. I think there were a number of penalty calls early in the game that went against us that maybe didn't need to. Seems to me like Luke Sandler he plays a very pugnacious style anyway, but he's also a marked man. He can't hit anybody anymore he reminds me of Kellen Lane when he played for the Lakers. Every time he touched somebody, he'd get a penalty, and he wound up with 10 minutes in penalties, 2-minute penalties each of them on Friday night. Couple double minors in there that really hurt the team and himself. And he did a good job. He bounced back. He did take a penalty or two on Saturday night, but he just went to the box and sat down. There was no fighting back. I thought composure lost maybe Friday. Composure gained on Saturday night.
Yeah, you wouldn't know going into the weekend that our huge point of emphasis was to play 5-on-5 hockey instead of the penalty box. We weren't able to do it, and part of that's on us, and part of that's on some of the calls that are made. You know, I feel bad for Luke. Like, he's got to make better decisions and controls emotion. That's why part of the, you know, making the playoffs is so critical for our whole team, because they weren't in the playoffs last year, but especially these young guys to get in a college playoff atmosphere where the emotions are high and, you know, everything's running. To learn from that was really big for us. But I thought a couple of calls were real poor calls, and you know, but you can't put yourselves in that position. So it's good for us to learn and go from it. But we were one of the least penalized teams most of the year, and you know, I thought we played with pretty good discipline most of the year, and they're a team that they can draw penalties, A, because they skate so well, B, because they're so smart. You know, they know if they get a little tug or a little hook that they're gonna help sell that call, and they're a good team that way as well. And I don't necessarily love that part of it, but they're smart enough and they're skilled enough to know when to draw that penalty, and then they did a good job of that.
Yeah, 10 penalties to 4 on Friday night, Lakers taking the 10, and then 6-3, I think it was, on Saturday night. We were right in the game there, though. We did a really good job on Saturday night killing those penalties where we struggled a bit with that. They scored 6 power play goals Friday night. I think they had 1 on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's a good point. I mean, you obviously can't take out those goals, but 5-on-5, and even after the first period, we were up 5-on-5 hockey. So, you know, but you can't give a team like that those opportunities. We can't ask our top players to play those hard minutes of penalty killing, and they were worn out a little bit, and that led to Saturday night. But, yeah, and then I thought, you know, penalty kill was much better Saturday night. You know, they did a good job. They're well coached, and they have that high-end skill. So their power play Friday night, you know, wasn't a ton what they did. It was more where the pucks went to, their second effort. And, you know, again, I think Gordy, the emotions got to Gordy going back to his own state, and he hasn't had a lot of games like that. But he wasn't as sharp as on that night. And, you know, and we weren't there enough to help him and clean some of those areas up. So, but I liked their adjustments coming back, like you mentioned. I thought Saturday night we did a good job penalty killing. We really tried to take pucks out of Lightner's hand, and we were able to do that quite a bit. And he's such a good player, and he was able to penalize it, or really hurt us on Friday night, and Saturday night we were able to counter that.
Yeah, J.P. LaFontaine, another one. He had a goal and I think three assists on a Friday night, but I didn't notice him much on Saturday. We did a much better job there of keeping some of their better players to the outside and at bay. And as you say, I think Gordy played a little bit more under control on Saturday night as well. There was a almost laughable incident during the game that involved officiating too on Saturday night. I can't remember the last time I've seen an official come over and tell the coach to get down off the bench. Is that not what he was doing? Wasn't he telling you get off the bench?
Oh,
get
yeah, I
back
think so.
There and be quiet or something. He was Kevin Langseth was just beside himself. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad. If it was that bad, he would have probably given me something. But yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is. We have to know what the refs are going to call. I think that was one of the hard parts is you weren't sure what was going to be called and what wasn't, you know, going back and, you know, I think Luke had two charging penalties and you watch it back, he was coasting. I mean, there was absolutely no charge about it. And, so when you don't know what's going to be called, it gets very difficult than what it's called one way. So, you know, I thought, they weren't great, but they never are. I don't think you're ever really happy with the officiating, and that's just part of it. But we've got to learn as a team that we can't put ourselves in those situations to take those calls.
Okay, let's take a look at this whole season now. This team lost a lot of games this season, way more than we wanted to, of course, but we also had some high points. We won a tournament down in Florida. We pulled off a twin killing of a very good Bemidji team on our own ice in the second half. Right at the start of the second half, for about a month there, we played some really, really good hockey. Then we kind of struggled again, but assess the season for us overall from start to finish and what you're looking forward to next season.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't good. I mean, it's not where we want to be. We went from the one maybe you mentioned the championship was certainly a highlight, but we were a non-playoff team last year. We got the last seed this year, and that's not where we want to be. You know, we're not where we need to be or where we want to be, and that's from coaching to playing and offense, defense, all over. I mean, everything's got to be upgraded and improved upon, and we'll make the necessary decisions and improvements where we can, you know, tomorrow and next month and a year from now. It'll be a process in a lot of ways, but we're not where we want to be. It's a very frustrating, difficult season, and we need to get a lot better, and we'll do that. So, yeah, I mean, that's all can be said. You know, next year we've got to learn and grow, and I think a good goal next year will be home ice. That's probably a high goal, but you know, we want to get in and host the first round playoff series, and if you can do that, then you're putting yourself in a good situation. So that'll take a big turnaround and a big jump, but that'll be a lofty goal that we have moving forward. But where we're at is not acceptable, and we got to move forward quickly on making it better.
Yeah, we lost our captain for Saturday night's game. I felt particularly bad for him because he's a great kid and he couldn't play in his final collegiate game because he was hurt. And in fact, he could barely walk on Saturday, let alone play hockey. But what happened with him, and how's that situation today?
Yeah, Andrew, I mean, if you know, obviously our fans know him and how much he sacrifices, how hard he plays, and that's been all year long. So he's battled some upper body and some back issues all year long, and plays through a ton of pain, and, you know, as a captain, it's you know, there was a couple times all year we'd take the day off and you rest, whatever. But he knew as a captain, he felt like he needed to be on the ice for practice with us, and he just fought through it and fought through it. But he just tweaked his back on Friday night, and Bill mentioned it was so bad he could barely walk. I mean, you felt bad watching him trying to get around the hotel and just move. So, you know, and that's saying something because he's as tough as they come, and he'll play through anything. And so for Domit not to be able to go, like you said, was disappointing and difficult. But so, yeah, unfortunate. You always want to finish it on a high note as a senior and play that last game, but he gave us everything he had all year long and was a tremendous leader for us, and so it was tough to not have him on the bench with us.
Good finish for Steven Perfetto. He had a big goal on Friday night. I thought he played real well in both games. I thought Chris Ciotti played really well Saturday night too. He was very noticeable, very calm in his own zone, made some great breakout passes, and played better than he has in a lot of games in the second half.
Yeah, you know, it's tough for Chris once again. You know, he came out, broke his finger that first game, and missed that time. And you always wanted your seasons to get off to such a good start, especially when you're a senior. You know, you have all these aspirations and these goals, and you want it to start so well. And then you missed, I think, 10, 11 games, whatever it was, and that's a big setback. And when he first got back, he was playing so well. Him and Schmidty were both playing well and had chemistry. And then, you know, the offense kind of dried up there a little bit. So it was good to see him finish strong. Like you mentioned, he can skate and he can make plays. And so we did that. And Steven Perfetto, certainly to me, there's a reason why he shared MVP honors with Cody Dayfield. He played at such a high level, you know, really all season, but certainly the second half. I mean, he was a catalyst for us. He was our best player on the ice most nights, and he might have been the best player on the ice a lot of nights as well. And so good for him to finish on such a strong note. And we're looking forward to helping those guys navigate that next step and figure out where they're going to go play. I know they all hoping to go play some pro hockey, you know, hopefully right now, but if not, certainly next year.
Okay, we're going to take a break here in the Laker Hockey Show tonight. It's our last show of the season. And stay with us. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. Crowd on hand tonight. We appreciate that. We've had great crowds all season, and I know the Antlers appreciates that, and Chris Sabol loves sponsoring this show, so we'll look forward to it in the fall again down here at the Antlers, and Damon Witten's with us, and we've got some questions from the fans, and one of those questions is exactly the same thing I've got here. Let's talk a little bit about this spring and conditioning, and I know that's one thing that the coaching staff was not real happy with, some of the conditioning in the fall. The way guys came back off the summer. So what do you do this spring? And then how do you make sure that these guys work during the summer so they come back in here in great shape?
Yeah, no, great question. And we're going to give the guys just 1 week off. You know, we kind of went back and forth 2 weeks, you know, and another time you might give them 2 weeks. But like I said, we've got a long way to go to climb that ladder and improve. So they're going to week off to take care of school and rest their bodies a little bit. Then we'll start right up Monday. And you know, I hope it's the most intensive, difficult thing they've ever gone through. It should be challenging. It should be difficult. And we're going to do our best to make it the hardest strength conditioning that they've ever seen. So that'll be part of the plan. You know, one area that we'll do a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but we got a testing protocol that we'll do right away as well. So we'll take a baseline. We did it in the fall. We did it in the spring. We'll do a postseason testing protocol here as well. So we know in every area what their testing numbers are. And really, that's the best way to hold them accountable when they get back next fall. We'll retest them in all those areas and see where they've improved or not improved or how much they've improved. And, you know, that's one of the big areas you can do to make sure that they stay on it and get after it. But a lot of times it's up to the individual players. You know, we can't be back home in Toronto or Vancouver or Detroit or wherever they go back to and hold their hands and make them work. It's, you know, how committed are you and how bad do you want to be a player and how bad do you want to help our program grow and take steps? So a lot of times it's on the players. When you recruit kids, you try to do your homework to make sure they're of high character and they're committed. They want to be pros. And, you know, we'll do our best. We'll have exit meetings with every player over the next 2 or 3 days here. So every player on our team will know what we thought they did well, areas we think they need to improve on, and what the expectation is for next year. So hopefully with all those areas, we've hit their what they need to do, what they better be doing, and if they want to come back and contribute and play, they'll know exactly what's expected of them.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit tougher when you're talking about incoming freshmen, because all you can do there is talk to them on the phone or even meet with them if they come to campus, whatever, and tell them this is what we want you to do to be ready. That's a little bit different than veterans. One thing I would think right now is that this crew of freshmen we have on this team would be very cognizant of the fact they need to be a little physically stronger. They need to do this because they've competed all year and they know we got to be better.
Yeah, and there's a couple of guys that physically are right there. You know, you look at Aiden Wright and Ryan Renz, and physically and conditioning, you know, no issues at all. I'm probably missing one or two, but there's also two or three that really need to take a step, and they can offer some really good skills and talents to our team, but they need to be bigger, stronger, faster. And that's really freshman, sophomore, doesn't matter. That never changes. And today's kids, most of our kids from bigger cities, they all go back home, or the majority of them go back home and have hockey-specific trainers. So it's nice for the most part. You get kids from smaller areas that might not have facilities or hockey-specific people. That's a bit of concern. You know, obviously a lot of kids, you understand that, but they've got to have summer jobs to pay for tuition and cars and all that good stuff. But you'd be surprised how many kids go back home and have really good training facilities and coaches back where they go, and that's obviously a big help today. But again, ultimately, Bill, it comes down to that individual. If you want to be a player, you're going to put the time in, you're going to be dedicated and committed to making yourself the best player you can be and giving yourself the best chance to step in and be ready to play and contribute at a higher level next year.
Well, certainly, you know, a few years ago we had a crew down in Toronto there. Dominic Minardo was one of them. Nick McParlin was involved in that. I think Kellen Lane. They all went to the same gym down there, and they had the same basic instructor. Do we have a strength coach here on campus who works with our guys, who can work with you as coaches and design a program?
Yep. We spent a lot of time actually going over with Coach Eric Stapp today, and Eric's done he came in later in the year here, so this will be really his first hands on the guys full go, because it's such a maintenance lift when you get involved in January, February. So, you know, we've got the program designed. You know, our guys will know exactly what the expectations are, the timing of it. Like I said, it better be the hardest they've ever worked. I mean, that's the expectations. We've got to have a mindset, you know, to just scrap everything we've done and then just elevate the level. So, they'll know, they'll be with them every day. He'll run the workouts and they'll go when they leave. They'll have summer manuals and programs to take home with them. But like I said, a lot of guys, as you mentioned, those Toronto kids, they all go down there and train. And, you know, our Minnesota kids go to Fit, a lot of them. So most of these big city kids have a place they go. They're training with other junior guys, college guys, pro guys, and it's really explored over the last probably 8 to 10 years of all these gyms back in these areas.
You know, I thought it was an interesting interview with Stephen Perfetto between periods on Saturday night, and he talked about nutrition. His sister's a nutritionist. She helps him a lot with what to eat, how to do it, when to eat. He's big on these drinks that don't have any sugar in them, and they're not energy drinks. They're things he mixes up himself that are made in such a way that it helps him physically. I don't think there's anybody on our team in better physical condition than Stephen Perfetto, so it seems to me that would be an outstanding example for other guys.
Yeah, and they, you know, that'll be part of our exit meetings. We're going to talk to some of our guys who don't have that commitment or knowledge to make sure you're following the right people. You know, surround yourself with people who are committed at a high level and who are doing things the right way. And Stephen did a great job for us this year. You know, I think as a head coach in 8-10 years, we're going to be feeding our elite athletes a gluten-free menu. He's gluten-free. You know, Tanner Carroll over at Michigan Tech was just the player of the year in our league. He's a gluten-free guy. If you Google it and look at some of the NBA players and Major League Baseball players, what it does. So, you know, nutrition is such a huge part, and, you know, we can never do enough to be with them to control that. We do what we can when we have them and can feed them. But it's a huge part. And again, just it shows your commitment level. If you really want to be a player, if you want to be a pro, you're going to do everything it takes to give yourself the best chance to be successful. Diet, rest, recovery, that's all a huge part of it.
Yeah, that's there's no doubt about it. Gluten is a wheat product. That means you cut out bread and you cut out anything made with flour, any wheat product. And another thing you cut out is beer drinking, because that's a lot of wheat. So a lot of people have trouble with that. They can't do it, but it is a much more healthful diet than and certainly for athletes, it only makes sense to me. Defensively, this team improved this season. There's no doubt about it. I think second half, the statistics bear that out. Penalty kill got better. I think we're, you know, that's coaching and that's commitment on the part of players. Defensively, we're a pretty good hockey team. Where we need to get better is offensively. That's probably recruiting, because that means we got to bring some more high skill players in here. How is that going? Are we getting skill players at this point, in your opinion?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're happy. And, you know, you mentioned it is commitment. I mean, certainly our guys and learning new systems. I mean, we changed everything. It was such a drastic change. So it did take time, and it took a lot of time for us to learn our personnel, you know, and, you know, that takes a process as well. So it was good to see the growth in our team. And I think with that bad Friday night, we ended up still inside the top 20 in the second half of goals against average. And that'll be a goal. You mentioned, I think you have some goal questions coming up. You know, we want to be a top 10 team goals against average, or top 10 defensive team. You know, is it going to happen next year? I don't know, but we're working towards that. Same thing offensively. You know, now we got a much longer way to go, but we want to be a top offensive team. You know, those of you who follow recruiting, and some guys are signed, some are unsigned, so we can't come in all of them. But we've got two guys right at the top of their leaderboards in playoffs, and you love to see that, because playoff hockey, I mean, that's tough, and that's competitive, and you got to pay the price and go to those dirty areas in the playoffs. So to have two of our guys right at the top is awesome to see. We're excited about those guys and a lot of our other guys. So, yeah, we think we're doing that. And at the same time, our guys coming back, they need to take steps. You know, we need Bryce Schmidt to take another step. He had a great first half and really a solid year overall, but he's got to take a step. You know, Matt Johnson, you know, he had chances to score and never got that goal this year at all. But Johnny can shoot the puck. He can skate. I mean, he's a good hockey player, and he's got to take a step. Austin McKay ends up with 5 goals, and we need 8-10 at Austin next year. So it's not just about the incoming guys. It's our returning guys, you know, working hard. And not only are they lifting, getting faster, but they're shooting 100 pucks a day, and they're working on their stick handling in the basement or driveway or whatever it is. So there's a lot that can be done, and it's going to take everybody. We're not going to jump from, you know, such a offensively challenged team to a top 10 team right away or by 3 or 4 guys coming in. It's going to take our whole group.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to rely on freshmen. If they're really, really good, you can rely on them to a certain extent, but your chances of getting somebody who, I mean, everybody's looking for goal scorers. There isn't a team in the country that doesn't need more scoring. So they're out there pretty tough to hide anybody these days. There's no Doug Waite laying around down in Detroit playing for the Falcons, and nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, they said, you know, I think most teams do a great job in college hockey, college recruiters, and, you know, with internet and video now, I mean, there aren't many secrets. And you'd be amazed how quickly things get going as soon as that first offer goes out to a kid. You know, the advisor, the coaches are out there shopping that, and all of a sudden it really just spins out of control. So it's late in the process now, so to find a high-end impact offensive guy for next year, there's probably not many of them out there. But, you know, in today's game, there's decommitments, there's coaching changes and guys looking at things. So we're going to stay very diligent to see if we can continue to add pieces that help us climb the ladder.
You know, that's another thing, too. You just mentioned family advisors. That's one of the things that seems to me that's kind of a new thing in the last 5 to 8 years that we've got all these guys who – basically, they're agents, but they're not agents because the family's not paying them. What they're doing is advising and hoping the kid's a good enough player he'll sign someday, and then they'll cash in on it. How much of an effect do these guys have? Can they, for instance, if you're trying to recruit a kid and you've got a kid pretty much committed to you, you've talked to him, you've brought him in, he liked Lake Superior, he meets the guys, he thinks it looks like a good fit for him, and then the advisor gets involved, and maybe that advisor looking to the future says, well, I don't want you to go to Lake Superior. I want you to go to, you know, whatever, Minnesota State, and he steers that kid that way, or maybe it's somebody we compete for recruits with, like Ferris State or Northern Michigan or Michigan Tech. He steers them in that direction because they're maybe having more success. Is this something that goes on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at a huge level. I mean, you know, you mentioned it would never get that far where we're 2-3 months into commitment and have offered. I mean, where advisors may be your first call. You know, it used to be junior coaches or mom and dad, but a lot of times you're talking to the advisor before you talk to, you know, that player or the coach or whatever. You know, there's junior coaches out there now that are so frustrated because they're totally cut out of the picture. There's some teams don't even talk to the junior coach, even just to check character or work ethic. You know, the junior coaches have very little, some of them do. Some have very little, input or impact on the kids now. It's the advisors at them 2 or 3 years or the midget coach or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's a huge part of it. And, you know, that's why those relationships and guys, you know, are huge, you know, and it helps the other way too. You know, you might have some of our best relationships with the advisors. They're calling us before another school and we get something done before anybody else even knows about them with some of those young guys. So it works both ways, no question about it. And you gotta work that angle as well.
Yeah. The other danger right now is you might have a kid, and I think we do have a couple of them, who are not the signed to national letters of intent yet, who are really finishing strong. They're having a great playoff situation. They're being noticed by more and more people. There's always that possibility that even if the kid is committed verbally to Lake Superior, he can change his mind.
Yeah, yeah, that's out there. You know, for those who haven't signed at that early signing period, the next signing period's in April. And, you know, I think Rich and Pete, and I try to make sure as well, do a really good job. You know, we try to... The way, you know, we were looking at commitments the other week, and there's some schools that have 23, 24 guys committed. You know, we're up there. We got a big commitment list as well. And, you know, you've got to maintain relationships with every single one of these kids. So, you know, we each have kind of our areas or your kind of his recruit, you know, whether it's an Ontario kid or American kid, whatever. But, it's important that Rich and Pete and again, myself maintain contact at least every 2 weeks at the bare minimum, with these kids. So they feel comfortable. They know we're still watching them and tracking them and making sure we're following what they're doing. It's nice with texting now because you'll just text a kid right after the game, hey, great game. Hey, you had 5 points last night. Phenomenal. Good job. Keep it up. And they usually shoot back a text within 30 minutes. Thanks, coach, and whatnot. So
yeah, we did have a kid who had 5 points the other night, too, but he's a guy who signed a national letter of intent, so he's coming.
Yeah, yeah, Anthony Nellis is signed, and he's second in the league in playoff scoring. And like I said, after the game, you check a box score, you say, hey, great job, keep it going. And 20 minutes later, Anthony thanks coach. And I think he said something about can't wait to win a cup or just want a cup so bad, their league championship. So he's a competitive kid, and, I mean, not only does he have skill, he blocks shots, he competes, he's a playoff type of player, and that's what we're excited about.
All righty, we're going to take another break here in our Laker Hockey Show. We'll come back. We've got questions from the fans who are here with us tonight, and we'll be right back with more on ESPN 14.
As the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, we're back for the third segment of our show tonight, live at the Antlers, our final Laker Hockey Show of the season. Damon Witten's alongside, the head coach of the Lakers, and we've got some questions from the fans here. We hit on the conditioning question already, so we'll bypass that one. Are there any players who will stay in the area this summer who could work out here and I guess so you could keep an eye on them and make sure they're doing what you want them to do?
Yeah, I don't think we have many planned. A year out, we're hoping to do more of that. There's some that work at the arena, Taffy Able, you know, some stuff hopefully going on there. So there's some things in a holding pattern as we're trying to figure out our facility, you know, potential renovations, things like that. So this year, I don't think many guys plan to. A year out, we're hoping to have a lot more in place where our whole team stays and trains and takes a class or two. So we're working on those areas. It's a process, though, you know, coming in late last summer, it takes a lot to get those things set up. So that's something we hope to do more of in the future.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of schools do keep guys there. I know Notre Dame keeps most of its team there all year long. And at Notre Dame, what they do is they take less class load during the season. And then they make up for it. They take summer classes and they catch up if they're behind in anything or make sure they're staying eligible all the time. But they have way more offerings academically at Notre Dame, plus they have way more money, so they can afford to do those sorts of things. It's tougher for Lake Superior. The summer offerings aren't always numerous, and it's tough financially to make that work.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other, you know, the Notre Dame, like I said, does the whole summer, and that's interesting. I've never been anywhere we do the whole summer, but what we like to do is do the first session only. So you have them the first summer session, you get your strength base back, and then you get them out of town. Go back home and see your parents and buddies and girlfriends or whatever. I think that's tough for these college kids to stay in one area the whole year. It gets to be such a long and, you know, difficult year there. So I always like getting them out of town a little bit and getting them back home and refreshed and that way. So that's hopefully what we'll look at trying to explore moving forward.
Well, maybe that's one of the difficulties Jeff Jackson's having right now is his guys, they academics are so important to all those kids at Notre Dame. Yeah. That's like first and foremost with them. They're going to be Wall Street brokers more than they are NHL players. So maybe he needs to get them out of there for a while too, but he does keep them there right now. Aaron Davis played pretty well when he came in, got a chance to play. He's the only goaltender other than Kevin Aldridge who has played other than Gordy Dayfield all season for the Lakers. Came in on Friday night, played the third period, got beat for 3 goals, but he made some stops in there too.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's had tremendous growth this year, and you know, he's done a really good job. It was tough on Coach Aubrey the first half, having 4 goalies and just finding the time to work with them all. And when we got down to 3 goalies with Kevin's return to Fairbanks, it really gave Pete and Aaron more time to work with Coach Aubrey, and it showed. You know, both in Pete's game grew as well. And then you know, we do a lot. We went to Polar for the inner squad scrimmage. Aaron was the winner of that. We do a lot of competition stuff in practice, and Aaron kind of came out on the winning end quite a bit. So he traveled with us to Northern. He traveled with us this past weekend. So we felt like he kind of earned it and outperformed in that area a little bit. And I did a good job. I mean, I know it's been a bit of a topic there about the goaltenders. You want to put kids in when they can be successful. And I feel bad for Aaron that we had to put him in at that point of the game. That was strictly just to get Gordy a little bit of a break and just kind of decompress and get as much time as he could before Saturday night. We had a chance at Northern Michigan to do it that Friday night, but I didn't think it was fair to Aaron to put him in. You know, if we were up 5-2, then we would have had him in and get some experience and some reps. But, you know, again, when you put kids in the lineup, you want it to be in a healthy situation and in a situation they can learn and be successful. And, you know, that didn't really present itself this year with every game being such a close game and a tight battle. So, you know, felt a little bad for Aaron, but I thought he did a good job. He got in there and in a tough situation and made a few good saves and did a good job for us.
Yeah, and that's like throwing somebody into the fire there. That team was buzzing and they were up big time and yeah. The other fans were into it and they were on a mission that night, and we played way better on Saturday night than we did on Friday night. Do you know why the WCHA final, it's 4 teams that are there, why it's called the Final Five?
Yeah, it used to be called that way, the old Red Baron WCHA Final Five, because they used to send, they had a play-in game, I think it was 6 teams then, but it was 5 games, so they called it the Final Five. It was really well known in Minneapolis at St. Paul in the Xcel Energy Center, so they just didn't want to lose that naming rights, and they just continued to go with it.
And that will be coming up this weekend. It'll be the 3 favorites, and then Ferris State kind of threw a monkey wrench in there, but Ferris State's playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by that result. I mean, Bemidji was an unbelievable team in the second half, and you know, winning the North Star Cup and really taking pieces of everybody they played. So I didn't think Ferris could go in there and do that. Obviously, they have C.J. Mott. They have a, you know, you talk about playoff experience and how that helps you build. Well, they've been to the Frozen Four. They've been to the NCAA. So I think that playoff experience helped Ferris State there, just like hopefully it'll do for us. You know, winning, getting in the playoffs this year hopefully helps us build for the future like I think it did for Ferris, and it showed against Bemidji.
Okay, we've talked a lot about the recruiting end of things and trying to bring stick skill players in here for the future, and we do have some players we think are going to help us there. What about the schedule for next year? We've talked about that each week, too. A lot of people always want to know, are we going to have a more balanced schedule, more home games this next season, because we had so many road games this past season. And we talked last week, I think, about going to Maine early in the season. We have a holiday tournament around Christmas in Vermont. We also play Arizona State here in Sault Ste. Marie. That'll be a great chance for the fans to see a brand new program at D1. What else have we got in there?
Well, we've got the our exhibition game against the U.S. National program coming up to kick off the year. That'll be preceded by our blue-gold game the night before that. Hopefully, I think it's October 4th or 5th or 5th or 6th, whenever that NCAA start date is. We're going to do a non-conference home-and-home with Northern Michigan. You know, talking to Walt and talking to Mel over at Michigan Tech, what we're concerned about, how much mileage we put on our players' bodies and the travel we have to do to find games and to beat up our players. So, the chance to have more home games as part of it, the chance to not put as much miles on our legs is a big part of it. So, we've all kind of agreed, you know, it's got to work out every year. But if there's a year we don't have four WCHA games, we're going to try to explore having home and homes with our UP rivals. And I think that's good for the rivalry as well. So that'll happen next year because we only have two WCHA games with Northern Michigan.
Are those home or away?
Home and home. So we'll do
home.
I think
right.
It's Friday night, I believe, we're over there.
Yeah.
And Saturday night we'll be back here. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be and it is going to balance things out. We're also going to play, I think, at MSU. Did you mention
that? Yeah, we're at Michigan State next year as well. They'll return that trip another year out. So yeah, I mean we're doing as best we can to backfill that those home dates. Again, scheduling's 3, 4, 5 years out sometimes. So, you know, we've got to work and get down to Florida with our national body at our convention and really work for more home games and doing a 1-for-1. And it's tough to do right now. There's a lot of teams like us. They don't want to travel. The way the NCHC's made up, the way our league's made up, the way the Big Ten's made up. I mean, there's no more easy trips in conference like the old CCHA or somewhat the old WCHA. So everybody's so concerned about, you know, the cost of it, but also the physical toll on the bodies of the players.
Yeah, they killed the great thing. We had a great league there where it was easy to travel, and they Big Ten decided they had to have TV money, so they threw a monkey wrench in there, and now we're all scrambling around trying to do things the hard way. How about Alaska? Do we go there twice again on separate trips?
We do. We have two trips to Alaska. I'm trying to remember the dates there. One of them is later in the year. Once again,
kind of like this year.
Yeah, well, even later. I think we go to Anchorage, I think, 3 weeks before the end of the regular season. We don't have a bye week after as well. So, you know, it's not an easy way to end the season. We're going to go to Anchorage, come home, play the home. I think we're home the next weekend, then maybe down to Ferris. So we got a long trip late in the year that you got to kind of plan for accordingly to make sure we're rested going to the playoffs.
No, we didn't play there this year, so I'm assuming we play at Bemidji next year. We did play again for the second straight year at Huntsville, so I'm assuming we do not go to Huntsville this year.
Yeah, Bill, and I'd have to get back to look. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right at Bemidji for sure. For some reason, I feel like we're at Huntsville again next year as well, but I'll have to double-check that, but we do go to Bemidji.
So sleeper buses are going to be a big deal again here, and Pat and I will start planning a flight to Maine right now because we're not driving to Maine. That'll be, I can hear them now at the radio station. We'll have to take a feed for that one. We can't afford to send
you guys. Better get out there. That's a great tournament. You know, that icebreaker tournament's a big preseason tournament that's exempt games, and we're excited to be part of that. It's going to be an awesome start. It'd be nice. We actually get an exhibition game in, a scrimmage, an exhibition game, and we'll be ready to roll.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's so far away. It's so difficult. It's kind of heartbreaking.
It's in Portland, too. It's not in Bangor.
Correct.
It's,
yep.
Yeah, it's down south in Maine. So that'll be interesting. I've never been there, so I'm going to certainly try to make that trip. You mentioned a few minutes ago that you'll meet with all the players here. You'll have exit interviews. And, you know, having been an administrator at that level, I know what those are all about. So, and they can be a little testy sometimes, but will you set goals with each and every player and kind of like tell them what it is you expect them to be able to do when they come back in the fall?
Yeah, no question. I mean, we when we arrived back yesterday, we gave everybody a questionnaire so they had a chance to take that home. A couple guys turned theirs in already, and then they'll We'll have it by their meeting time at the latest. A lot of guys will turn in tomorrow. But we had a bunch of questionnaires about this season and if they met their expectations and our team goals and then what their goals are moving forward and, you know, areas they need to improve on and even asked them, you know, what do we need to do better as a program, as a staff to make sure we're more successful. So I think that feedback's critical. We had a real good session with our seniors today to get their feedback. You know, they're a little bit more free. They can say whatever they want. So it's nice to hear to have Perfetto, Ciotti, and Domit, good leaders, guys who've been around to get their feedback about the season and moving forward here. So those meetings will be huge. You know, we're going to be brutally honest. I think that's the way you have to be. And, you know, there'll be some that'll be really easy and really positive. There'll be some that'll be a little bit more difficult. And there'll be some, like you mentioned, will be really challenging. And, you know, as I mentioned, we're not where we want to be. We're a long ways from where we want to be. And that leads for difficult decisions, difficult conversations. But I think the players deserve that. They work so hard. They deserve our honest feedback and not to be sugarcoated or, you know, misled. So they'll know exactly where they stand. And I think that's healthy for our program and the direction we're headed.
I would imagine knowing those three seniors, I don't know if you did you say you met with them already? You talked to them today. I would think you'd get great feedback there. They're all honest kids and they're all hard workers. And they're the kind of guys, those three guys we're going to miss. We're going to miss them as people.
Yeah,
on this team.
No question, and leaders on this team. But yeah, they all came in today, and part of it is we wanted to see their plans. You know, we want to help them pursue professional opportunities. So we asked them to find four or five teams that they're interested in going to try to play at, and we'll start making calls for them on their behalf. And we've already fielded some calls as well, so we'll hopefully expedite that process for those guys. And then we wanted to get their feedback. You know, what did they like about the season? Did they like the way they we traveled? Did they like our pregame skates? You know, so we wanted some detailed feedback about what they thought we could do to be more successful. And then also, you know, major issues or concerns moving forward. Do we have, you know, certain players that aren't part of it, or do we need this in our lot, whatever it is. So we had a little bit of that. It was more about their well-being and their future, but we'll continue to speak with those guys before they head out of town or if they head out of town and once they get back.
Yeah, you talked to a little bit about the travel situation here and that sleeper bus. I think you took that four times during the season, and it works out pretty well because the guys can sleep and relax overnight, and then you get there and you set up shop and you have a practice, etc. That's good for really long trips, I think. You tried an experiment here this last time. You wanted to change it up going to Mankato. I thought that worked pretty well. We broke it up. We stopped in Wausau, Wisconsin the first night. We stayed there. Then we got up and went 4.5 hours into Mankato, and it worked really well. And I did hear from a couple of senior players who thought it was pretty good. They liked it that way, but maybe it's time of year. It's not winter. It's, you know, maybe that's got,
yeah.
I know staff people really like the sleeper bus. They'd rather do it that way.
Yeah. The one sleeper I didn't really like was that Mankato trip the first time. You know, I think we left at 10 or 11 at night, but we got into town at like 7 or 8 a.m. Thursday morning. And the hotel's connected, so the bus is gone, and you feel like you're there for 5 days or a week or something like that. So it feels so long, and instead of being fresh and ready to play, it's like, okay, let's get out of here. We've been here forever. So I didn't, and maybe that was just me, and that's why we want feedback from our players. You know, at our age, it's different than what they feel like, and they can handle the travel better. But, I know, you know, like you mentioned, this trip here, where we're going to partway Wednesday, driving 6-7 hours Wednesday. You can wake up Thursday, no huge rush to get down there. I think to me that leaves us a little fresher, a little more hungry to get down there. So we'll explore that and find the best ways to do that.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting yesterday too. We're leaving town and we stopped to pick up some meds for Andrew Domit, our captain. He's in agony. He didn't sleep all night. He could hardly walk. He looked like he's 90 instead of a young kid. But the bus blows a belt on the back of it. It turned out it was an air conditioning belt. We didn't need it anyway, so we cut the thing off and went home. But for about half an hour there's Domit out there with the tools out. I can fix this. And he can barely stand up, and he's trying to fix that thing. There's about four of us holding him up, and Paul Prouchet's there, and it was almost comical. It took us an extra 45 minutes to get out of town yesterday. But of all the guys to be out there, the guy who is hurting the most on our team is trying to fix the thing we really didn't even need. The bus driver goes, well, we don't need air conditioning anyway, so.
That's why you need those farm kids on the team.
Yeah.
You know, those farm kids can fix anything, and they're so handy. So he's a great kid. And,
he is.
Yeah.
He's top shelf. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. We'll be back for our last 5 minutes of the show for this season right after this on ESPN 1400.
ESPN 1400.
Okay, our final segment of the show for the 2014-2015 season. And, you know, it seems like you just get started doing this stuff and it's done. But, and you talked earlier in the show about how it just comes to a thud. It's like, okay, you're done. See ya. And, time to get ready for next season. And there's no ice pretty quick. And if it's not out already, it certainly will be. I noticed on, Sunday morning as we were loading up at the rink to get ready to head back to Sault Ste. Marie, the ice was gone at the Verizon Center. It was out.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time.
The floor was bare.
Yeah. We have a skating class this semester, so a skating class will continue to go, and ice will be in for a little bit, and gave our guys the option if they want to use it. Like for me, when you're pro guys, the season ends and they don't touch it for a month and a half. And, you know, I know our guys have a hard time not doing that, but for me, it's just bad habit. So I don't like it. I can't stand watching them out there because you just kind of cringe. But, if they want to go out and skate and do some things, they'll have a couple weeks here to do it.
Still. Okay. You know, we didn't talk about this at length at all, but I thought it was great on Saturday night in the second period. Ryan Renz got his first collegiate goal and, he finally got one through a seam and it got to the net, low, hard shot right in, made it 2-1 at the time. I was pretty happy for him. So were the guys. They grabbed that puck right away, and he got the souvenir.
Yeah, it's funny how guys know right away, and then, you know, they're all over that. But, he's a guy that we didn't talk about a lot down the stretch. I thought he played his best hockey over the last month or two, really finished strong. He ended up kind of running our top power play, and his puck touches up there pretty good, had a great one-timer on the goal. So I thought Ryan really finished strong, and, there's a lot of guys that had some real good segments of the season, and they've set a good bar for themselves, and now they've got to, you know, go beyond that and set a new bar coming in as sophomores or juniors or seniors, whatever it may be. So, you know, there's some really good pieces in place, and what we're adding in, we're really excited about. So, again, the expectations will rise, and we've got a lot of work to do, certainly, and we're not happy with where we're at, but we like a lot of pieces we have, and we'll be getting better and better, and we're looking forward to that.
Well, you know, it was a tough year and we lost more games than we wanted to, and you get a lot of critics who say that we come on this show and make excuses for why we lose and blah blah blah, but what are you going to say? This is not a team that doesn't try hard or doesn't give it all it's got, and it lost a lot of games, and it's just got to get better. And it's what happens when you make a wholesale coaching change last spring, which we did, and you're looking at a whole new system and how to do things, trying to play a different style, and puts a lot of pressure on your returning players, and then you got a lot of freshmen who don't know anything about Division I ice hockey, and at this level at least, and it makes for a tough year. It was a very, very tough first half. We started off playing one of the best teams in the country right out of the gate, and that it went down from there for a while before we kind of started the ship going in the right direction, and I think it's going in the right direction now. I think you guys have done a good job, a very good job, and it'll get better in the future.
Yeah, well, no question. That's the plan. And there's no excuses. We're not where we want to be. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, we're not happy with it. We're not satisfied, certainly. And like I said, making the playoffs was a small step and a good experience for us to build and grow off of. But we got a lot of work to do. And that starts right at the top. You know, we've got to be better from our offices and what we're doing and in our game planning and our coaching and, right to our players, accountability across the board. So, we're going to address a lot of areas. We're excited to get, moving. Like I said, it kind of comes crashing down, and about an hour or two, you're like, you get to breathe a little bit. Then the next hour, it's like, I'm bored. I want to get back to work and get going. And there's still a lot to be done. You know, Rich and Pete especially will be on the road still recruiting quite a bit here and looking not only for anything that might shake out for next year, but for some younger kids. So there's a ton of work to still be done here. We know the challenge ahead of us, but we're up to it. We're excited for it. We're really, appreciative of our fans. They thought it was a really good year overall for that. It was tough with the lack of home games, and that'll be better next year. But, you know, we love it. It's a great place. It's a great program, and so fortunate to be part of it. And we appreciate everybody's support, and we can't wait to prove to you guys and entertain you guys with the way we're playing and the process we'll be had moving forward.
All righty. Well, we'll be back here hopefully in the fall in October. We'll have another Laker hockey show and a season of it, and I think we'll be here at the Antlers Ford, and certainly the Lakers will be ready to play on October the 4th. Going to have a blue-white game, blue-gold game at that time, and then we'll play the under-18s the next night, and that'll get you started. It'll all be at home, and want to thank all the fans for being here tonight and all season. Most of these people have been with us every Monday night. And Damon, any final words from you as we get out of here?
Well, just a great thanks and to Bill for being here and doing such a great job for our program. You know, I don't know if we'll have a radio show at all, but we'll be doing a lot more social media, press releases, some video wrap-ups. So, you know, make sure you're on our webpage and Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff, because that's a big push for us too. You know, we're going to get our schedule out a lot earlier this summer in a release so people can plan accordingly. We're going to have a promotional schedule attached to our schedule. So we're working on a lot of areas to make sure people can, you know, plan for the games, have fun at the games, and come support us as we grow this program.
Yeah.